Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5 year long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 4 of week number 21, studying Matthew chapter 21. As we begin, these reminders. For all of our free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. You will find 2 new books available at that page, Receiving the Gift of Salvation and Surrendering to His Lordship. Download those 2 books for free, read them, and you will be blessed by both. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. Text IGHFREE to 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org to get started, or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call us toll-free 1-855-IGH-6988 for a free 30-lesson series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. Let's return to our study of Matthew 21. At the end of our last broadcast, we just started to think about Matthew 21, verses 4 and 5. There we learned that Jesus' entrance into the city of Jerusalem fulfilled prophecy. We are 21 chapters into Matthew's gospel, and we continue to see what we first observed in the opening chapters. Matthew repeatedly emphasizes the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. In this immediate context of 2 verses, Matthew 21, verses 4 and 5, we witness the fulfillment of a passage from the prophet Zechariah. That passage reads, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly, and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Before we discuss this any further, consider this. A moment ago, we noted that this was a fulfillment of a passage from the prophet Zechariah. But within the passage itself, the prophecy was just said to be spoken by the prophet, without identifying which prophet said or which prophet wrote these words. We are accustomed to documenting biblical citations with references to book, chapter, and verse. For example, we are commenting on this book, the book of Matthew, and this chapter, chapter 21, and these 2 verses, verses 4 and 5. But biblical authors often referred to other biblical texts in more oblique fashion. Sometimes, like here, it was written by the prophet. Sometimes the prophet's name was given, Isaiah, Joel, and others. In other contexts, passages are referenced without calling attention to whether or not it was prophecy, or to who wrote or to who spoke that prophecy. In one context, Jesus referred to God's statement to Moses that I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob as appearing in the book of Moses and in the burning bush passage. We see that in Mark chapter 12, verse 26, and Luke chapter 20, verse 27. If you look closely, some translations will italicize the words burning and passage, thus telling us that those words were supplied by the translators to help the text read smoothly and or to make more sense. The ESV, for example, refers to the book of Moses and the passage about the bush in those 2 texts. Technically, there was no singular book of Moses, but Genesis through Deuteronomy, the books of Moses, were clearly intended. And the words, passage about the bush, what we know to be Exodus chapter 3, verse 6, seems to be a rather unique way of citing a text. The lesson, we need to read Scripture carefully all of the time. It will often make explicit reference to other passages of Scripture, but it will also make much more subtle, even oblique references as well. And the extent to which a text appears in citation, sometimes in full, sometimes abbreviated slightly, sometimes greatly abbreviated, and so forth, makes it that much more important that we read and that we interpret every text with the highest regard for what God says in the way, in context, that God says it. Let's look more closely at fulfillment in Matthew up to this point, and at this prophetic fulfillment, specifically as it relates to what Zechariah foretold. Verse 4 tells us that this was done to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. There are 23 different forms of this word, fulfill, appearing a total of 273 times in the New Testament. The heaviest concentration of those terms, 172 occurrences, appears in the first five books of the Second Covenant. That's Matthew through Acts. Not all of those 273 occurrences, however, relate to prophetic fulfillment. In fact, fewer than one-third do so, 86 to be exact. In Matthew, there are 16 uses of the term, and this passage, Matthew 21:4, appears as number 12 on the list. To this point in Matthew, the following have been specifically identified as fulfillment. But before we look at those passages, it's important to note that prophetic fulfillment in the New Testament does not necessarily require the use of the exact term that we are surveying at this point. For example, when the wise men came to the city of Jerusalem looking for the one who has been born king of the Jews, the chief priests and scribes told Herod that this king would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. As evidence of that, they cited what was written by the prophet, quoting specifically from the opening verses of Micah chapter 5. The term fulfilled does not appear in that immediate context, but its absence does not detract from the fact that what we find recorded in Matthew chapter 5 would be fulfilled as written in the general context of Matthew chapter 2. There are, of course, many such "it is written by the prophet" texts in Matthew. Our present overview of those passages that employ the word fulfill must not be taken to mean that they are the only texts in Matthew that record the actualization of what the Old Testament anticipated. We start with Matthew 1, verse 22 and 23. These two verses address the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy about the virgin birth. That prophecy appears in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Matthew 2:15, this text cites Hosea chapter 11, verse 1, "Out of Egypt I called my son," and applies it to Joseph's, Mary's, and Jesus' departure from Egypt as they returned to the land of Canaan. Matthew 2:17, the death of the innocent children in and around the city of Bethlehem was said to be predicted by Jeremiah. Matthew 2:23, instead of returning to Judea, Joseph took his family to the city of Nazareth in the northern province of Galilee. This was, as Matthew tells us here, spoken by the prophets, "He shall be called a Nazarene." Matthew 3:15, Jesus' baptism by John was said to fulfill all righteousness. Interestingly, the use of the term "fulfill" in this passage was not intended to refer to the completion, to the satisfaction of one specific Old Testament prophecy. Rather, there was a sense that the Old Testament as a whole anticipated a time when righteousness would be perfected. Not fulfill all righteousness in the sense that we, as human beings, created in the image of God, would somehow become sinlessly perfect, but rather fulfilling all righteousness, first in the sense that the perfect sinless one, the prophet, the suffering servant, or, as the Father said, "my servant," that this divine being would arrive, and that, as a consequence, as a benefit of his arrival, his righteousness would yield our redemption. Matthew chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, citing Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, tells us that Jesus' ministry started in Galilee, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, just as Isaiah prophesied. Matthew 5:17 informs us that Jesus came not to destroy the law or the prophets, but rather to fulfill them. It was, of course, through Jesus' sinless life that he fulfilled what the law intended and what the prophets predicted. Because of that, his fulfillment of righteousness brought about our forgiveness. Matthew 8 records a number of Jesus' miracles. Jesus cleansed a leper. He cast out demons. And Jesus healed so many, including the centurion's servant, Peter's mother-in-law, and all of the sick who were brought to him, that it fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." That text, Matthew 8:17, references Isaiah 53, verse 4. Here, Matthew cites Isaiah 53 to emphasize Jesus' ministry of healing. The same general context of Isaiah 53 was referenced in 1 Peter 2:24 to accentuate Jesus' work of forgiveness. In Matthew 12, after Jesus healed a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath day, the Pharisees went out and took counsel against him, how they might destroy him. Matthew 12, verse 14. Jesus, knowing of their plot to kill him, withdrew from that place, and he cautioned the multitudes who followed him, all of whom he healed. Jesus cautioned them not to make him known at that time. Matthew tells us, starting in chapter 12, verse 17, that this temporary delay in revealing Jesus' true identity was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Then, starting in chapter 12, verse 18 of Matthew, Isaiah's prophecy, taken from the 42nd chapter of that book, continues through Matthew chapter 12, verse 21. In Matthew 13, the chapter filled with parables about the coming kingdom of heaven, we read this: "All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world.'" Matthew chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. It's understood that the passage Matthew cites here comes from the book of Psalms, chapter 78, verses 2 through 4, a passage that reads, "I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done." In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Matthew chapter 21. This reminder as we close: to start our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.